comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, you don't know, so let me tell you, we have a free weekly newsletter. It is called The K-Files, and it really is free. No strings attached, no tricks, it's free. And you can subscribe and begin getting it by just going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And then you click the link that says K-Files and subscribe. It's really quick. Okay, so be sure you do that if you haven't. And that way you'll get it and you won't be in the dark anymore. Right before showtime, I received an email from one of our listeners, one of our members, informing me that the chat room isn't working. So I went and checked it out, and sure enough, it isn't. Well, I was doing things in the members area today, and I obviously messed something up so that you can't get into the chat room right now. So as soon as the show is over tonight, and as soon as we get the show loaded up onto the site as latest show, then I'll go check out the chat room and see if I can get that going for you again. And so hopefully by this time tomorrow, there will be no problem with the chat room. I hope and fully expect. I also, just before showtime, received an email from one of our listeners who happens also to be a rather famous writer and a rather famous publisher and editor. And he said that there was someone who had kind of launched a harassment attack on the internet against a lady who is one of the witnesses to the UFO sightings at Lake Erie. And whoever it is keeps mentioning that Kevin tried to interview her and she refused. And he wondered if that was me that tried to interview her. And the answer to that is I have never heard. He gave me the name, and because I don't want to exacerbate the problem, I'm not going to use her name here. But let me say to her and to him, I've never heard of her. So if there is a Kevin with a talk show other than me, and I suspect there probably would be, maybe it's that Kevin, but it's not me. I didn't even know she existed. And but I will also say, if whoever's doing this harassment campaign against her, if that person is implying that it's me, then he's not implying, he's lying. It was not me. I did not try to interview her, never heard of her, and I don't know what else to say about that. Tonight, my guest is James Horak, and we're going to be talking about yet another really bizarre photograph from SOHO Satellite. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. You may remember a few weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we discussed here on this show a photograph that had come from the SOHO satellite that showed some objects, very large objects, in orbit around our sun, very close to the sun. So these are not like way out into the solar system somewhere. They're right up next to the sun. And you may remember, those of you who are members of the Kevin Smith Show, I showed you those photographs, or that photograph, and we zoomed in and took a good close look at the objects that were in orbit around the sun. And you may also remember that I had as my guest to discuss those, to talk about those, James Horak. Now, he is my guest this evening. He will be joining me here in just a few minutes. And he's, well, I see that there is a call that's coming in, but I cannot answer that call. Okay. So anyway, James Horak will join us here in just a moment, and we're going to be talking about yet another bizarre photograph that has come from SOHO. And we'll be getting his comments and his thoughts about this particular photograph, and I'll be showing that to you. So those of you who are part of our members area, you're watching on our TV channel, you're going to see the photograph. Now, this hit the internet today. All right, so this is fresh. This hit the internet today. Let me just check and see who it is that has called us. Perhaps it is Mr. Horak, perhaps not. Caller, is this James Horak? I guess not. Okay. All right. So we will get him on the phone line here in just a little bit. Now, this photograph from SOHO, for those of you who have never heard of SOHO, you need to know that it is a satellite that observes the sun. It was built and launched by the ESA, that's the European Space Agency, and then it is operated by NASA. So it's a joint venture between ESA and NASA. When you look at these photographs from SOHO, right in the center, it looks like somebody took a platter and put it right in the center of the lens, because right in the center, that's where the sun would be, but it's blocked by this filter that looks like, it's circular, it just looks like a platter. And the reason for that is to keep the satellite lens, to keep the satellite camera from burning up, keep the electronics from burning up. Because it is pointed full-time right at the sun. So when we see these objects, what we're seeing is, you know, you have the platter right in the center. You have the blacked-out circle right in the center. That's where the sun would be. But you can see, you know, the sun's flares coming from around that circle. You can see that. But then right at the edge of that circle, which means you're right up next to the sun, that's where you see the objects. Most of the time, they're right up next to that circle, so they're in very close proximity to the sun. Sometimes they're a little further away, sometimes they're right next to it. Well, the one today is right next to the sun, all right? And it is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So I'll try to describe it for those of you who are listening by radio, but let's take a look at what's happening with these photographs. Actually, this is all one photograph, and we're going to look at it zoomed in at several levels. And we also will attempt to describe what we're looking at here. So what we're looking at is the disk that I described with the flares of the sun, the light of the sun coming out from the edges, and right about the 5 o'clock position, there's a tiny little white dot, and that's the object we're going to focus on. Now, let me zoom in just a little bit so that folks can kind of see what that white dot looks like. Okay. It has a shape to it. It looks like a flying saucer shape. And guess what? It has some sort of a beam coming out of the bottom of it. Now, let's zoom in a little closer. And we can see clearly that it is kind of a flying saucer shape. And it's got this beam, looks like a beam of energy coming out of it. And actually, at this zoom level, you don't know whether it's a beam of some kind of energy coming out of it, or and it's coming like from right under it and headed down towards the bottom of the picture, or if it's a trail of some kind of exhaust, like maybe it's losing fuel or something. But if we zoom in just a little bit closer, we can now see that is a very coherent, non-spreading beam of some kind of energy. And it's got some kind of little bulges of energy in it, little bright spots of energy in it. And pretty amazing stuff, really, when you really take a look at it. Now, we had James Horak on the telephone with us, and he was experiencing some telephone problems. And we, right when we came out of the break, we lost him. And so what we're going to try and do is get him back on the telephone and see if we can get him to comment on these pictures and give us, you know, his insight, because he's got quite interesting perspective on these sorts of things, as all of you know. And he's if you've heard him before, you know that we really do need to get him back on the phone here and see if we can get him to comment. So we'll do that, and we'll be right back. Well, we have been able to get Mr. Horak on the line with us. And, James, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. How are you?
I'm doing well. I sent you these photographs earlier in the day, and you had a chance to take a look at them. And actually, it's one photograph, and then I just zoomed at various levels and just enlarged to various levels. And what we're looking at and what we saw on the on the biggest zoom looks like, you know, it looks like a sort of a flying saucer shape, but then it's got this beam of energy of some kind coming out from the bottom of it, headed towards the bottom of the photograph. James, you had a chance to take a look at these.
Yes.
What are your comments? What are we looking at here?
You're looking at an EMB that's the size of the planet, of this planet.
And what is it doing? What's the deal with that?
Depositing more EMVs and drawing on energy.
Depositing more EMVs? So this is like a mothership?
Well, you could say that's what it is, but it's not like it's having babies. It just carried them EMVs with it.
Mm-hmm. All right, and so it's what's the deal with this beam of light or energy that's coming out of it? What's that?
If you'll look, you'll see EMVs coming out of that, and you'll also probably see a brightness towards the center above from where it's emanating below the craft.
Okay.
And that's drawing on energy from the sun because it's very close to the sun.
Okay, so when I see this bright sort of kind of a bulge or a bright ball of light in the middle of this this beam of energy coming out of it, you're saying that is an EMV that's leaving the main ship there?
Yes, a number of them.
Now, you know, if we go back and we're not zoomed in so close on this one, we actually can see that there are other objects out there. We can see one very clearly in that picture. But let me just sort of mark where I see some. I see three in this picture that I've just put up, and I don't know what those are. But I mean, are those EMVs too? You're breaking up so bad we couldn't understand you. Try it again, James. Okay, that's simply not going to work, James. I don't know. That won't work. We can't understand anything you said. Okay, what we'll have to do is try to get him again. This is not an unusual thing to have happen. I know there are people who, because I get email about it, and they say, "Oh, it's your phone system." Believe me, folks, it is not. It truly is not. All right, we will try to use a different phone, and we'll just give him a call right now and see what happens, and see if it's any better.
Hello?
All right, we'll see if that's any better.
All right.
All right. So what are those? Are those EMVs coming out, or is that some sort of planets that are out there in the solar system, or what are we looking at?
You're looking at EMVs.
Huh? Now, how do you know that?
Well, like I said before, I have an affinity with these EMVs.
How many EMVs are going to come to this party? Because it seems like they just keep coming.
It'll be 18.
Why 18?
they're task-driven, and that's the number required.
Okay, so that would imply then that they have a task that will require 18 of them to get this task done. That's a pretty big task.
Well, normally EMVs are shy, but they are. This one is making a display for you.
For me personally?
For the world.
Okay, now why is it, when you say it's making a display for the world, is the display what we just saw? Or is there something bigger coming?
Well, that's up to the world.
Okay, we'll elaborate on that a little bit.
As I said, the EMVs have protected this world up until now. But the direction things have taken are considered counter-evolutionary, and you're on the threshold.
Of what, extinction?
That's humanity's call on this planet.
Now, the last time that you were with us and we talked about this sort of thing, you said that the future is not written in stone. It's not carved in stone. And it's up to us to decide which way things go. But how do we do that now? Because, I mean, obviously taking a vote isn't going to bring any kind of unity. Let me get an answer to that when we come back, because we have to go to a break at this moment, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, James Horak. James, you know, this sounds rather ominous hearing you talk like this. How is it, you know, you say that it's up to humanity. Okay, but how? I mean, how can that happen? We cannot come to a consensus in one country, not just the United States. There's not a single country on this planet that is in a state of consensus. How does a whole planet come to...
I've never been faced with this sort of thing before.
So how does the planet come to a consensus?
They listen.
To...
It is not the time for ultimatums. It is the time for concern.
Okay, but what is it they need to listen to?
No more war. No more suggestions, secret projects, attempts to build a monstrosity that can even consider depopulating the Earth. But most of all, not placing all power for the whole world in the hands of those that have created all the problems.
That's a pretty big task for even one country to take care of. How can the planet take care of that problem?
Without secrecy. it's very easily done when you don't have counter agendas running.
Well, I think that's a great goal for us to head for and head for rapidly. However, we've put politicians in every country. We've put politicians in charge, and the very first rule of a politician is, or the very first requirement to be a politician seems to be that you have to be able to say anything and everything with a straight face except the truth. And you know, these folks all over the world are in power. That cannot look humanity, even in their own country, in the eye and just tell the truth.
So would you, on your opinion, consign humanity to annihilation?
Well, I would not. I'm trying to figure out...
You're not willing to look at alternatives?
Well, I am. I don't know how you could get the whole world to put people in charge that tell the truth.
Disclosure is one thing, change is another.
I grant you that. So, what are you saying? We need disclosure or we need change? Or we need both right now?
Very soon.
Which is it? Do we need disclosure or change or both?
Events have recently happened which are precursor to implementing inhuman and monstrous designs. A number of people already know this, both on the inside of it and on the outside.
So how do we stop it?
Waiting for the populace of the world to see what it is that is really manifesting this evil, so that when they risk themselves, they'll have the full support of everyone that would be victimized.
So, I guess what I'm saying is, what concrete actions can an individual take that leads toward throwing off the liars and oppressors?
To actually examine everything objectively with an expectation of your own rights being respected and adhered to, and with the law being imposed upon all equally, for the social contracts that the people have with their governments to be upheld, and that corruption be ended and punished. These are all things you already know.
Well, it's one thing to know these and to desire this. The question is, what can you do?
That's for you to decide upon and to commit yourself to. It's not like it hasn't happened before.
All right, let's say...
Your own histories.
I'm sorry?
It's not like it hasn't happened before in your own histories.
All right, well, let's say it doesn't happen. Let's say that people follow the path that they have traditionally followed, which is get all upset with the politicians and then next election reelect them. And so they put the same people back in charge. That's been going on since the country was born, and it was going on, you know, it's been going on in other parts of the world for centuries. So let's say that things continue as they are. What could we What kind of demonstration could we see from these?
If that were merely the case, Mr. Smith, if that were merely the case, they are not satisfied. The social engineers that are projecting what they're projecting upon this world are not satisfied with that.
Well, I'm not saying that what
the New World Order.
I'm not saying that what they do continues to be the same. I'm saying what the people do, which is put these politicians back in office.
Those options much longer, because these people that are projecting this upon the rest of the world are not content with that status quo. And they've made that quite clear.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, but let's go back and understand what I'm saying. I'm saying if the people of this planet do what they've been doing for centuries, which is put the same people back in office, I do know that those people apparently have plans to take this thing further, but they can't do it if we don't put them in office. However, let's say that the people of this planet do what they've been doing for centuries, and they put these same people back in office. Then what can we expect from these EMVs?
I've expressed this before, that the threshold will be crossed when these people start a program of global depopulation.
Do you think that that is something they will begin in the near future?
Yes.
Why do you think that?
Because I happen to know that. And there are many people other than me that know that. They even know the timeline. And what they know, I know.
All right, now when we say it's global depopulation, by what means? How will they go about doing this?
Surely you must have some indication of that.
Well, I do, but it's a talk show. And on a talk show, we explain things so the audience can know what we know.
Pick a country.
Pick a country, okay. Italy.
Italy has a corrupt government. The Catholic Church intends itself to be the global religion under the New World Order. Italy will become an experiment of mother religion. Very quickly, it's already being implemented.
But how will they go about global depopulation?
They will provoke demonstrations that will become violent. They will declare martial law. This will become global. They already have detention centers for dissenters. They already have executive orders in the United States on what to do to dissenters. This country can become, I'm speaking of the United States, can become a police state in a matter of 6 months with what's already in the works, both as executive orders and as the mechanisms for implementing them.
I think it could, you know, under the right circumstances, be a police state overnight. I don't think, and I don't want someone to go out there and say that I said that that's going to happen within the next 24 hours. But I think the structures are in place, and you know, if need be, if they feel the need, could implement a police state pretty much overnight.
Right now, there's only one difference between me and 2 million people that know exactly what I'm talking about in the United States alone. And that's that I have nothing to lose by coming forward and speaking, asserting myself on it.
And you said 2 million.
2 million.
Yeah, who are the 2 million?
Military, paramilitary, insiders within covert black ops, skunk works, et cetera, et cetera. You cannot be inside without knowing that there is some direction. What, no matter if you're compartmentalized, no matter if you're under security restraints, you still know that there is a direction, and you know what the directives that are catpawing everyone, every project, all the groups that are involved in both the social engineering, the military, the implementation of detention centers, all of this under groups like FEMA. I mean, it's been known for at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm. But you think we're right at the edge of them doing this. And that may be the case. Now, we have to step away for a break. And when we come back from this break, we will continue talking with Mr. James Horak. So don't go away. Welcome back. We're talking with James Horak this evening. James, you have told us before that you are you have an affinity with these EMVs, which stands for electromagnetic vehicle. Dr. Berggren, who was with NASA at one point, and maybe still is, I don't know, I think he's retired now, but a very noted scientist, credentialed scientist, had talked about these same types of vehicles, electromagnetic vehicles, being resident in the rings of Saturn. And I think people who are familiar with Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean have probably by this time seen at least the videos on YouTube where he shows pictures of these massive vehicles located in the rings of Saturn. And so people are familiar with that, or maybe they've read Dr. Berggren's book, The Ringmakers of Saturn. But now they're around the sun. What does Dr. Berggren say about these vehicles being resident around the sun?
I take liberties that Dr. Berggren has not been willing to take for the last 15 years, and that has something to do with why Dr. Berggren sort of divorced himself from me.
Okay. What does that mean? Does he say anything about these EMVs being around the sun now?
He is now.
What does he say about them?
He understands that they are the EMVs that were in the rings of Saturn that he had detected before 1985.
Okay, now, are these the same EMVs that were in the rings of Saturn, or is this a different set of EMVs?
Hello?
Is this the same set of EMVs that were resident in the rings of Saturn, or is this a different set of EMVs?
They're all the same.
Okay, so this is not an additional bunch of EMVs.
No, no. have to realize they can change size.
Yeah. Okay, now, so that would mean that a bunch of EMVs that were in the rings of Saturn have now moved over around our sun. Are there still some EMVs in the rings of Saturn?
Yes.
Do you know how many EMVs total there are working our solar system?
Three hundred and thirty-three.
That's a bunch. All right, now let's talk about the moon, and I'll connect that up in just a moment. But let's talk about the moon, our moon. You have told us that it is populated. There are humans there. Are there any, according to what you've told us, are there any Earth humans there?
Yes.
Do you know how many?
At least three colonies.
And where are they from? What countries do they come from?
Combination of the United States and other countries. Member nations of NATO.
Now, do you think that because of that, because that would indicate there is, that would indicate that a number of countries are in on the inside information about space travel and inside information about the moon. But do you think, because the United States sort of tends to dominate NATO, that would account for why so many countries keep their mouths shut about what's going on out in space? Because the United States doesn't want it, and doesn't want people to know, and these other countries are in NATO with the United States. Would that account for why they cooperate with the secrecy?
Well, I don't think that there is a single motive. I think that some are corrupted. Some are just fed fear. They're told that that the United States and a couple of other concerns outside the United States have the best interests of the world at heart and are working with a group to protect them from hostile alien threat, which is poppycock.
Okay, so there is no hostile alien threat?
No.
All right, now, if there is no hostile alien threat, how could these countries be convinced that there is? Because they have people out there on the moon, too.
Well, you would think. The level of deception is on such a scale that if you said, why don't these other people in other countries who are in leadership roles know what is going on, I would tell you that there are plenty of people here in leadership roles that don't know the truth about what is going on.
Okay, so that implies that we...
People in NASA and JPL know the truth about what is going on.
Do you think NASA is aware that there are colonies on the moon?
Oh, yes. Yes. Certainly. I told you about that book on lunar petrology that I had. The data in that book couldn't have been compiled by probes.
Okay, so they know there's colonies on the moon. Why then would NASA want to keep that secret from us?
For every reason in the world. They are working on agendas that are counter to 95% of the people on Earth. Counter to the to these people's interests.
All right, now
maybe even their survival.
I want to put you in the shoes of people that are in charge of all of this secrecy. I want you to be in their shoes for a minute and describe for me, to the best of your ability, why they think there is a hostile alien threat.
Are you talking about the people at the very top?
Whoever's in charge of it.
They know there's no alien threat.
So then what would be the purpose of fostering the idea that there is?
Because it will help them to implement a feudal system that will run the world to suit the elite.
Do you think they're going to succeed with this, James?
I know they're not.
Well, that's hopeful. That sounds good. So, what is it that is going to stop them from succeeding with this?
Well, either the people that are in the side, on the inside, and are against this, start making a move to do something about it and have the informed support of the populace when they do to stop this before it becomes something much worse than it has to become.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Push the wrong button here. There we go. Now we've got Mr. Horak back with us, I suppose. Are you there, James?
Yes, I'm here. Can
okay.
you hear me?
Yeah. I just, it's pilot error. I pushed the wrong button to bring you back online and instead brought a dial tone online. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. We're talking with James Horak this evening. And what's under discussion, or what started our discussion, is a SOHO satellite photograph. That's the satellite that's aimed at the sun all the time. It looks directly into the sun. And it's a photograph that hit the internet today, okay? It is from SOHO. And in this photograph, there is a small little dot right up next to the sun. And what we did is we zoomed in on that and took a look at it and found a very interesting sight. It looks like a gigantic UFO, and it looks like it's got a beam of light or energy coming out of the bottom of the UFO, and it heads straight down towards the bottom of the picture. A very, very, very strange, strange photograph. Now, that's what has sparked our discussion with James Horak this evening. That's what we've been talking about. And I want to invite you, if you have questions or if you have a comment that you'd like to make, I want to invite you to join us. Now, the way we do that is by telephone, all right? So if you have a question or a comment, we invite you to join us. And and that includes if you've never called us before. Now's a good time, don't you think? The telephone number, the main number, and it works from anywhere in the world, 623-444-5889. Toll-free throughout the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. Now, if you happen to live somewhere besides the USA or Canada, you don't live in the USA and you don't live in Canada, you can send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my webpage. Scroll down, you'll see a link that says flash message, and we would be more than happy to take your thoughts and read them on the air and try to answer those questions for you, okay? All right, let's go to the telephone, and if I can make this work. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hi, Rex.
Hi, so I've got a question.
Okay.
Have the people that are really in charge at the top been communicated with directly so that they know the severity of the situation? And have they been given a demonstration so they know what's at stake, so there's no question in their mind what the consequences of their actions are?
Good question.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. They have had experience with EMVs. They know that you don't approach them. They know that that the ETs that they have had any contact with revere them, respect them, and sometimes they'll coordinate with the EMVs, but they never approach them.
Okay. Now, do they know the, as far as the correlation between the not starting their depopulation plans and what the EMVs are capable of, do they understand that correlation?
I hope they do now.
Okay. Thanks, Rex. I appreciate the call. All right. 623-444-5889. We have a flash message. Let's see, Bob in Australia, they don't want you or him to speak about this, Kevin, and they will go to any lengths to stop you. Yeah, what you folks don't know is we have been oscillating between phone systems to keep James on the air. And we may have to do some more of that. Okay, 623-444-5889, or toll free at 888-223-4599. Tony in Australia says, Kevin, they have knocked your video feed out to Australia, so we can't see the images you're showing everyone. To quote an Aussie expression, they're lower than snakes' bellies. Kevin, my question to James is the 18 craft. Could they be gathering to stop Planet X when it comes by us? What about that, James?
Were there a Planet X threat, they could stop it.
But you don't think there is a Planet X threat?
There is something, but it's not Planet X.
What is it?
This involves what I wanted to bring up with the helium, but we didn't get into that and probably can't. And
yeah, we can.
Talk to call-ins.
Yeah, let's talk about it. What's the deal with it?
You had a guest on last night talking about polar reversals.
Yeah.
Actually, everything he talked about could be accomplished with polar shifts, not necessarily going to the extent of polar reversals. So there is a body of a different kind of matter that visits within the solar system every so many thousand years. And it can't be read from the usual types of sensor devices, but it can be perceived in its influence as it passes astral bodies. And this is what they are calling Planet X, because there is a mythology upon which the concept of Planet X is built. There is a phenomena, but it's not Planet X.
And you say it's a whole different kind of matter.
Yes.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Ryan up in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
I don't know if you're aware. I'm having problems with your video feed. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. Maybe it's just my computer. But
yeah, well, it's a radio show, so you can still hear it, right?
Yeah. James, I just want one quick question. Do you have any idea what that big boomerang that flew over Phoenix in 97 was? Do you have any insight on that?
Yes.
What was it?
It was called Cooperative Craft.
What does that mean?
It was an experiment that was being run in cooperation with the human military in the United States and someone else.
All right. The other question I had was, these sightings that happen quite frequently over cities where they pop up these triangular formation, kind of like circular lights that pop up and they hover there for periods of time. Do you have any idea what those are? And I'll just take it off the air. Thank you.
Yes, they're signs. ET is giving you signs. They're concerned.
All right. James, do you know by what methodology, when we talk about reducing population, do you know by what methodology they intend to reduce it?
Well, the H1N1 virus vaccinations were part of it, introducing diseases that can opportunize physical systems in individuals that have already been reduced by pollution,
mm-hmm.
by seeding, and by just the fact that your food supplies aren't safe anymore.
All right. Back to the phone line, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hello, Kevin. This is Haya from Vancouver Island.
Hello, Haya.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. James, I'm just a little guy. I try to keep myself informed. I'm a healer. I do everything possible to inform myself of what's going on. What can I do personally to help? What is it that I can do?
I think you've done, from the sounds of it, you've done what you can do. The important thing is for people to wake up to see what's going on around them. The consciousness that can pool just from awareness can make a difference. If there's so many people that are waiting to come forward, and they would if they knew the support, they had the support and protection of people like you.
Well, I know that you got. I'm 100% behind all this. Like, I would like to be able to do more. I mean, I just don't know what else I can do. I've tried to inform people. It's very, very difficult at times because lots of people don't want to hear what I have to say. Whether
that's
it's
changing,
being,
Haya.
Oh, thank God,
that's
eh?
Changing.
Is there anything else I can do?
No, you're doing fine. It's people like you that are the reason I'm here.
Well, I'm very grateful that you are here and informing us.
Hiya, thank you very much. And thank you for the call. We have a flash message from the United Kingdom. Let's see, this is from TORZ, T-O-R-Z. And it says, would it be possible for us to send a heartfelt plea to the EMVs in order that the whole world would know that they are there and that they mean business without it being misinterpreted? Maybe a short, sharp shock would be appropriate for the Wizard of Oz monsters ruling us to realize their time is up. Please send my deepest love to James and thank him for coming on again. Okay, James, TORZ sends her deepest love and thanks for coming on again. And it says, oh, and the video is out here too, and the sound is intermittent. Well, see, I'm not surprised. I expected that we would have people trying to interrupt what we're doing here this evening. But the message is getting out there, James. People are hearing what you've got to say, even with the interruptions. All right, now let me ask you something, James. I want to ask you the question that TORZ asked. Is there a way for us to connect some way with these EMVs and send the message that we get it?
Well, I'm doing that for you.
Okay. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. I've been listening to your guest, too, on being on the air a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he says that, you know, he knows what they know. It's like he's got contact with them. I was wondering, you know, as far as these guys trying to knock Kevin off the air and stuff, do you have any powers of any kind, you know, to stop them from taking you off the air or any special powers, you know, that would, you know, help you do?
That's a good question. What about that, James? Do you have any special connection that could...
For 15 years.
I'm sorry, James, I talked on top of you. Say it again.
I've been fencing with them for 15 years, and let me assure you, if they wanted to knock us off, they would have knocked us off.
Now, his question is, do you have any connection with these people that are trying to knock the show off and interrupt the show? Do you have any connections where you could stop them from doing that?
Well, they're not succeeding, are they? Not that I have to do anything. They really don't want to knock this show off.
You don't think so?
Oh, no.
Why?
Believe me, if they wanted to knock you off, you would be off.
Well, that's true.
They're just tapping you on the shoulder.
Oh, well. I'm glad to have audience of any kind, you know? Terry, thank you for the call.
Yep.
All right. 623-444-5889. Or 888-223-4599. Let's go back to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Kevin, this is Mark from Ohio.
Hello, Mark.
Hello. I'd like to ask James. He mentioned something in one of your interviews about true believers being eaten alive at the second advent, and I wondered if he could elaborate on this.
All right.
I didn't hear that very well. Would you repeat that, please?
Yeah. You mentioned in one of the interviews that you gave us here something about true believers being eaten alive at the Advent, although I don't think you used the word Advent, but he wants you to elaborate on that. What did you mean by that?
I meant that implementation of the New World Order is following revelations like a guide, because people that believe in the second coming and believe in Armageddon will wait to be delivered doing nothing, resigned that their belief in Christ alone is all they need, and that makes them very easily eaten up.
Well, as a matter of fact, in Revelation it says that they're going to be slaughtered in great numbers during what Revelation calls the tribulation period. So, yeah, I guess that's right. So, Mark, does that answer your question?
Yes, that was a great answer. One more question, and then I'll get off the air. I believe James talked about our moon actually once orbiting Mars, and I wondered if he could discuss this, and I'll listen off the air. Thank you very much.
All right. What about our moon once orbiting Mars? He wants you to elaborate on that just a little bit.
Well, we know that Mars was a living planet at one time like Earth. It's not entirely dead now, but it had a lot more vitality. And the reason that it did is that it had a moon which could drive its core and mantle like a generator is driven and produce an energy field that could hold the atmosphere, that could create seasons and the Earth replenishing itself, uplift the things that create a seedbed for a lineage that will lead to civilizations growing and prospering. When certain things happen, like they're happening on Earth today, on Mars, there was a migration, and in order to stabilize the Earth, it was going through a very unstable period, they took the moon.
From Mars and brought it here.
Yes.
How did they do that?
They used the same devices that they used on the Earth as to make it a ship, a craft. And in order to position it and to be able to control its movements, they put engines in a grid work just above the magma of the Earth. And they look kind of like huge dipsticks or needle valves. And they move, and when they're in place and they're functioning properly, they minimize earthquakes, they minimize volcanic activity, and they can be used to place the moon between the Earth and an oncoming asteroid. A couple of these have been found.
Where have they been found, James?
Well, I told you about the one that my great uncle wrote an article about, which he found in the Tatra Mountains. And then there was one that was located, and both were taken and put in proximity to each other, which was not good.
All right, we have a flash message from Paul in Australia, and he says, James, what are they doing with chemtrails? So what's the story on chemtrails, James?
I can guess about three purposes of the chemtrails, because these people have a trilateral purpose to everything they do. It's part of their psychic charm, so to speak. And the chemtrails, of course, can be used for a specific thing. They can be used for a general thing, and they can be used to coordinate with other mechanisms, but all at the detriment of the food supply, of the health of the general population, and of a climate control that will operate against the interests of the people.
You know, I did some reading this week about the Georgia Guidestones. And that's not the first time that, it's not new information to me. I just wanted to read again and sort of be familiar anew. with the Georgia Guidestones. And it says right there on the Georgia Guidestones that the intention is to bring the Earth's population down to 500 million. There have been lots of people that everyone cheers and thinks is wonderful. They think they are wonderful. But some of those people that others cheer stand up and speak in favor of depopulating the planet. One of them, Bill Clinton, has said that about a billion, that the Earth's population needs to be down to about a billion. Ted Turner is someone who has spoken about reducing the Earth's population. And I think he said to around, I could be wrong about this, but I think he said around 250 million.
Yeah, that's closer.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there and those are just a couple of examples. But there are a lot of these very famous, very popular people that have been on record saying they're in favor of depopulating the planet. All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back from this break, we will continue talking with James Horak, and we will continue taking your calls. Welcome back. We're talking this evening with James Horak, and as always, amazing information when we talk to James Horak. The telephone lines are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. When you call, if I put you on hold, you will be hearing us you'll be hearing the show. Just stay there, and we will get to you as quickly as we can. All right, James, we talked about the population on the moon. We've talked in previous interviews about the population, that there is a population on Venus. And let me go back to that for a moment. Is the population on Venus human? And if so, are they Earth humans?
They were at one time. There are outposts there that are both ET and both off-Earth human.
Now, when you say off-Earth human, you mean they originated on Earth? They came from Earth to Venus?
Yes.
Obviously, if all of that has gone on, and it's gone on thousands and thousands of years ago, they must have had technology way higher than historians tell us about our ancient past.
Yes, that's true. And by the way, I'd like to say I read your e-book on Venus.
Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you.
Excellent.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Stefan from Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Hello. Hello, James. Nice to hear you on the show again.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I really, I don't like what you said in regards to Revelations, but I do agree with it because I think that also, it's funny because people are expecting Christ and the Antichrist at the same time, and they're probably going to welcome this thing with open arms or anything that comes in. But at the same time, I also think that in regards to governments of the world changing, I think it's almost a lost cause. I mean, I think we almost need interference at this point.
Well, you have to do what you have to do for yourselves. But if you can't, for whatever reason, then, as I said, it won't be a nice thing to come to pass.
No,
it's not something I look forward to at all.
Yeah. By the way, Kevin, on April 12th, UFO pictures will be obsolete.
What do you mean?
Photoshop is coming out with a feature called Content Aware in its program, and it reduces what takes usually about an hour and a half, to roughly about 4 seconds. You have to check out that video that they have online. It's amazing.
Okay, but why does that make UFO pictures obsolete?
Because if, say, you have a, let's say that you have a friend that creates a UFO, a really realistic UFO out of metal or whatever material, and you hang it up in the air by a thread, a rope, a string, put it on.
Oh, you're talking. Yeah, you're talking about hoaxed pictures.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
With the new version of Photoshop coming out on April 12th, you can seamlessly render the background so that it looks like nothing is supporting or hanging that object. I looked at it myself, and like I said, it would take me over an hour to create what this new version of Photoshop can do in roughly 4 seconds. It's a world first. Even the Photoshoppers themselves can't even believe their own eyes.
Well, that is, of course, going to make it difficult for UFO investigations. However, I guess we're going to have to start relying upon the preponderance of evidence in testimonies. And some people say, well, that's not very reliable. Nonsense. The entire criminal justice system of the entire planet relies upon witness testimonies.
And I agree. I think testimony is the one thing that I really turn towards now these days. And anyways, thank you, and I'll continue listening offline.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Let's go to a flash message that we have from Australia. No, we did that one. Let's see, what have we got here? Leonardo in Puerto Rico. And Leonardo says, hi, Kevin. Good show tonight, like always. I hear you great on Indy 104. Kevin, please ask your guest if he is part of the 29 Ancianos in the Book of Revelation. I'm not sure what that is, so I don't know. But are you one of the 29 Ancianos?
Well, that's a fanciful legend, and I think what he's talking about is what Elizabeth Clare Prophet was into, and if I am, it's purely euphemistic.
Okay. All right, to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, James. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hello, John.
Hi, James. I just there's lots of questions I could ask, but I'm really interested in evolution. So I'm going to ask you the question: how does evolution actually work, and how are new species created and introduced on the planet Earth as represented by the fossil record? And I can just take that offline.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Well, you have a problem with the fossil record, because when a paleontologist, anthropologist, archaeologist, geologist finds anything that doesn't fit, or what they either call geological record or the archaeological record or anthropological or paleontological, they just get rid of it.
So the fossil record then is telling us something that, or as it's presented to us, it's telling us something that's skewed? Would that be correct?
I didn't hear the last part of that.
I said the fossil record, as it's being presented to us, is telling us something that's skewed. It's not accurate.
Well, we just don't have the evidence. I acquired an extremely incredible anomaly collection just because wherever I would live, whether it was in Ohio or Texas or California, wherever I was, I would go to local museums and I would ask them to go in their back room and I would give something to them and trade them out of all the anomalous finds that farmers were bringing to them out of their fields and whatever, and I had incredible things. None of these things were being exhibited. None of these things were being worked into any kind of knowledge base. They were being ignored. They were all sitting usually in toe sacks in a closet in the back room.
It's amazing. All right, to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from New York.
Hello, Gary.
Good evening, James.
Good evening, Gary. How are you, sir?
I am fine. I have a very simple question. Do you know me? And if you do, how long have you known me?
That's very ticklish. Where are you in New York?
I am in the Western New York area. And I'm sorry, you're breaking up. The phone lines are breaking up. Everything is.
We can hear you just fine. We're not experiencing any breakup. Okay, so we're going to have to move along. James, do you have an answer?
No, the man's voice sounds so familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, James.
All right, Gary, thank you.
Thank you.
Flash message from Kevin in Australia. He says, hi, Kevin and James. Have you read author Mac Toney's book, The Crypto-Terrestrials? And do you think they can walk through dimensional gravity doors? I know about the book, but I have not read the book. What about crypto-terrestrials, James? For instance, on the Skinwalker Ranch, it was observed that there was some sort of energy vortex out of which stepped and into which stepped. They saw it come out of, they saw it go back into this vortex, something that looks like what we describe as Bigfoot. So what do you think? Can they walk through dimensional gravity doors?
I've experienced that sort of thing. I know that it exists, and the Chupacabra is part of that.
Well, are they dimensional gravity doors, or is it some other type of doorway, portal?
No, they're actual vortexes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. When they energize these things, time has been tampered with. It creates rifts. And these rifts are like pockets, and things get caught in them. Mothmen are from somewhere else. And they only partially manifest here by falling out of these rifts when they're being used. And that's why when anywhere where you're around an area where there is a vortex being driven, this sort of thing happens. You see critters from other places that have a dimensional barrier between them and our reality, like Mothman. Mm-hmm. And Mothman are real interesting critters.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Maybe we'll talk about Mothman when we come back. That's sounds like something I would like to hear about. We're talking with James Horak, and we will take more of your calls on the other side of this break. But remember, we'll be on Final Approach, so get your fingers ready to do the dialing. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking with James Horak, and the phone lines are open. We have time for one, maybe two calls in this final approach section of the show. James, tell us about Mothman.
Well, I give all the credit to John Keel. John Keel would go out into the field, talk to people, soliciting what they knew, not feeding them what he wanted to hear. And he was an excellent anomalist. I cut my teeth on his book, Shadoo. And I know that the book that he wrote after Shadoo, which was on Lemuria, was a bit fanciful. But as far as being an in-depth investigator in anomaly and ufology, he was tops. I have every regard for him, and his Mothman Prophecies, the book, is nothing like the movie that was done, and people need to realize that. The book is strictly first-hand information that he took in the field studying a flap in the Northeast just prior to the to a major power shortage. And he was taking accounts of people that were having experiences with Mothman, usually around abandoned military installations and ammo dumps. And they were getting messages. The messages weren't clear, but they were interesting. And if you ever read the book, Mothman Prophecies, it has the first account of a female MIB in it, and it's very interesting. So I'm sure you've read it, Ken.
Yeah, I've read it.
Haven't you?
I have. All right, let's take our final call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and sorry you didn't hang on. Okay, we won't take any more calls then because we're just about out of time. Let me check our flash message board real quick and see if we've got any late messages from the United Kingdom. Do the powers that shouldn't be have technology that will deceive the eye and make people think they are seeing ET craft when in fact it's our own aircraft? And do you know what their plans are for that?
Excellent. Yes, indeed they do. But it's not their aircraft that they use it off of. It's power lines.
Wait a minute. They project from off of the power lines?
Yes. That's one of the questions that I asked hypnotherapists over 10 years ago when they decided they didn't want to have anything more to do with me. I asked them, how many of your abductees have had their abduction experience within so many yards of a power grid of any kind?
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of them. But now there are a lot of abductions that take place out in the middle of the desert, too, where there aren't any power lines.
Well, there are three kinds of abductions. There's a broadcast mind control abduction, like off of a power line. And all of these are are implemented and supervised by military black ops. And then there's the actual early type EB abduction, which is very rare now. And then there's the abduction where they use an EB craft, but it's actually black ops doing it.
And now we don't have but just a few minutes here, but why? Why would black ops want to go around picking people up, making them think it's extraterrestrial, and then returning them? Why would they do that?
They're running DNA experimentation. They're keeping the pot stirred to create the myth of hostile aliens. They're developing a set of let's say, communicable hysteria. And they're hiding, you know, it's a front for something else. It's a cover for something else.
So then a very small percentage of these abductions, from what you're saying, a very small percentage would be legitimate extraterrestrials doing the abducting.
Yes, today. To begin with, that's not true, but how many times do you have to probe a species to figure out what you need to know if you're not up to an agenda of some sort?
Well, that's a good point. You would think they would know by now.
Oh, they would have known by 50 years ago.
Well, especially if these if they've been coming here for thousands of years, as we are told, they certainly would know by now what we're all about.
There's one exception to that.
What is that?
Kalaris.
What is that?
Kalaris is an Amazonian island in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was visited by ET for months, and just about everyone in this village was probed. And the military sent down a detachment headed by an officer who studied it while it was ongoing. It is more significant than Roswell. It's more significant than any other flap or UFO event. But it's downplayed by American ufologists simply because they're lazy.
This is the one where the military guy that led this expedition to study what was happening ended up later. Well, it was reported that he committed suicide later. Is that the one?
Yes. Well, before he committed suicide, he met with ufologists, and he gave them his drawings, he gave them all the information he had, and he talked to them about his encounter with an ET.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting.
Why did he commit suicide?
He did afterwards, and I believe he did commit suicide.
Mm-hmm. But why did he?
Well, if you put a man in a situation like he was put into, and this was years, this was like 20 years, 25 years later that mm-hmm. he did this, but if you put him in that situation and you leave him without being able to go any further than I know this exists, but I don't know enough, it will create an emptiness. It will create it's exactly like a super spy that retires. He sits there twiddling his thumbs. He's used to having his ear to all this intrigue, and you take it away, and he's empty. Well, that's what happened to this man.
All right. James, as always, it's been a great pleasure to have you here on the show. It's been an eye-opener, and I want to thank you for that. And I hope you'll come back and be with us again. If you will, stay on the line with me for just a moment as we come to the close of the show. To our members, let me say that after we get the shows loaded up on the website tonight, I will go take a look at the chat room and see what is the problem. I don't know what the problem is, but we'll find out what the problem is, and we'll get it working again, all right? And I want to thank our listener who wrote in and told me about that, because I think it was working yesterday, but I was in there doing things in the members area and moving some pages here and there and doing some things to clean up and make it look better and make it work better. And who knows, maybe I am why it isn't working, why the chat room isn't working. We'll get it fixed for you, though. All right, that's going to be a wrap for this evening, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Tomorrow night, it's going to be BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic, and we'll be open line, so we'll have plenty of time for everybody to get in and say what's on their mind. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me, just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.